Indeed, we feel it's a privilege to be here with you people, and I'm speaking for the students as well. And we bring you greetings in the name of Jesus Christ and in the name of Oregon Bible College. It's the first time I've ever been here, and it's marvelous to be here with you and to see the joy that you people have. This is really good. I really am enjoying this experience. And I say that sincerely, and I'm sure that the students will reflect this same attitude that I have. In our text today, if you'd like to turn your Bible to that text and look at the context, you'll find in the context that it is nearing the time in which Jesus Christ is about to give his life. It's a time that Jesus himself, and he speaks upon it, and in fact, this section of Scripture in John's 13th chapter is referred to by some as the glorification. It's the section where Jesus Christ is about to glorify his Father. Now, if you're looking there and you see the context and you see what is about to happen and what happens in the life of Jesus and in the death of Jesus, we think in one sense there is no glorification here because we're looking at the death of Christ. We're looking at an experience that he is having, not for himself, but an experience that he is having for all mankind. And so it is like a funnel that is narrowing down to those climactic events that are about to transpire, which is to change the history of the world. And Jesus is with his disciples, and he's speaking to them. And he's looking forward to his death. And he is looking forward to the suffering that he's going to endure. And he's looking forward to the hostility of all the world. Jesus is going to experience the hostility of men. And there in that anguish and suffering and death and sorrow, and the anger and hostility of mankind, what is Jesus going to talk about, and what is he going to think about? And so I ask you, in the hour of your suffering and death, in the hour of your agony, in the hour of your sorrow, in the hour of your pain, what are you going to tell your friends about? What are you going to think about? What are you going to remind them of? And what is going to be the last thoughts that you have? Well, we look at this text and we see. There Jesus is in the hour of his suffering, in the hour of his death, and he's loving. You know, there's something that we believe and something that we can understand. That man under stress, when man is under pressure, his real character and the real person will come through. That when man is in great sorrow and when he's in great agony and when all the forces of the world are coming down upon him, the real strength of the person will there come through. When he's under the pressure to make a decision, the real underlying character of that individual, the individual's heart, will come forth. And so here Jesus is in that hour. And what is he doing? He's loving people when he's about to suffer his own death. I can't understand it. Because that's not the way it is with man. When we are experiencing the suffering, the agony, the hostility, the hate, the anger of others, we don't love. But Jesus loves. And he teaches those who follow him to love. He teaches those who follow him to care for other people. And so he gives the words, a new commandment. I give you that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. And so Jesus coming to the hour of his agony, to the hour of his glory, to the glorification of his Father God, to the hour of his suffering, gives this command and leaves it with us, yes, with the disciples, but also with us, even here today, that we are to love one another. Love is a strong thing to do. It's a strong thing to love people, to love one another. It shows strength. It shows that a person is a powerful man. Someone who loves someone is someone that is powerful. Because there's a lot of force in love. There's a lot of strength there. It's what drove Jesus Christ to the cross. And it was strength and power. It was not weakness. It was not fear. It was not a cowardly act. But it was something that demonstrated that he was a man of power. And so Jesus, knowing that he must leave with us something that demonstrates the greatness and the goodness of life, leaves a command to love. And that command to love is a guarantee of the continuation of the church in the world. That when Jesus loved, left that command to love, he left with those disciples and with us a guarantee that the church is going to continue triumphant in the world. That there's nothing can overcome that love that Jesus Christ was demonstrating within a few hours upon his death upon the cross. That he was guaranteeing a continuation of the church in this world today. So what do you do if you want to make sure that something continues? You want to make it strong. You want to fortify it. You want to give it embattlements so that there is strength there. And so Jesus was doing that. And he was living and leaving and giving the greatest thing that he had to live and leave and give. And that is that Christian people be a people who cared for one another. That we as Christian brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ have a care and a regard and a friendship and a love for one another. What did Jesus say? By this shall men know that ye are my disciples, that you love one another. And we can talk about all the dogma and all the doctrine that we ever want to talk about in all this world. But by this shall men know that ye are my brothers, that you love one another, that you care, that you show this regard and this caring that we have for one another, that the world might see and know that we are. And that's strength. That's strong. Not that we are the manly kind with hair on our chest, but that we love, that we care, and that we show this regard to one another. Jesus gave a command, but it is more than a command. It is a covenant, and it is a gift. And I would like to think of love in that way, that Jesus gives a command, but he gives also a covenant, and he gives a gift. He is about to enter into the communion service. And this communion service was entering into a covenant relationship. That's right. It's a communion service, a fellowship service. But it is the seal upon a covenant relationship. That Jesus was binding himself to the disciples. That Jesus is binding himself to us. That there is a covenant between us and Christ. That he loves us. That he cares for us. That he holds us in the highest regard so that we might have a covenant relationship, that we might have this bond with one another. Then how does Jesus seal this covenant relationship? Through demonstration of the greatest act of love that has ever been performed on the face of this earth. The greatest act of love that has ever been demonstrated on this planet was that Jesus Christ gave his life. So he commanded, he gave us a covenant, he gave us a gift, and then he demonstrated the thing that he was teaching. He loved us. He loved us by dying. And that is strong, and that is the real, and that is the right thing to do. So this command to love, this covenant to love, this gift of love that Jesus Christ has given to us, was not without its binding force that draws us together in a cooperation of strength and courage, so that as a people, as a body of Christ, We can do things that this world would not have us to do. In this strength, and in this bond, and in this covenant, and in this gift, we are made strong so that indeed the world understands that Jesus is who he claims to be, the Son of God. He gives to us then a gift. You see how that follows? That Jesus gave a command. He said, I command that you love one another even as I have loved you. And then he turns around and he dies on the cross, giving us that gift of love. He tells us then that we are to love one another. Do you see what we are doing as we love one another? We are giving the gift of eternal life. That in this act of dying upon the cross, Jesus gave the gift of his life that he might give to us the gift of love that we might have eternal life. Then when we respond to the love of Jesus Christ and love one another, we are giving one another the gift of life. The most precious thing that this world affords, that we are giving to one another the gift of life, that we are caring. To love one another is otherworldly. It is not something that is commonly done in this world. It's not something you see people going about doing. There are lots of things that people do that they pass off of as love, but you know it and I know it, it's not love. So to love, even as Jesus Christ asks us to love and commands us to love, is something that belongs to another world. It's something that does not belong to this world. It is not the common thing. And so Jesus did not ask us to do the common thing. He did not ask us to do the ordinary thing. He did not ask us to do the accepted thing. He did not ask us to do the easiest thing. He asked us to love one another, to care. You see, to care for one another, to love for one another, have this love for one another, for you to love me and me to love you, is for me to see in you, beyond the humanity, beyond the weakness, to see a strength, to see the person of Christ as he is reflected in your life, and to encourage and support and to strengthen that. To see that bit of goodness in you that has been put there by the love of Christ, and it is to nurture it, to encourage it, to enforce it, to uphold it, to lift it, that it might grow and it might swell, that it might encourage others. Because I see loving people are the people who have it together. They are the people who have their life in good shape. They are the people that are pleased with their life. Because they are not a people who are grasping and saying, give to me, fulfill my desires, what have you done for me lately? A loving people are a people who are content, who have their needs satisfied to the point where they can reach out and support other people. And that's what Christian people are. They have Christ in their life. They are a strong people. They have their needs fulfilled. They feel content. They have faith. They have confidence. They have trust. They have strength. And they have that strength to reach out and support other people, to encourage them in faith. They do not have the weakness to pick and to discourage and to scold and to find fault and talk behind back. They do not have that weakness. They have the strength to support and uphold and encourage and be with, because they are molded after the image of Jesus Christ. By this shall men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. In your rally association, probably that love is best expressed in cooperation. That you cooperate, and you support, and you encourage, and you strengthen the program. and that you are behind it, because you want the body of Christ to be strong. And you want the world to see the body of Christ. And you want the world to have to reckon with something that is strong. And you want the world to have to reckon with that love that they see there. Because you see, the world has no answer for that. The world has no answer for that love that you demonstrate toward one another. Your cooperation and strength and support. By this shall men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. By this shall men know that you are my disciples. Romans 12, rejoice with those that rejoice, and weep with those that weep. I want to call your attention to two words in there. They're just alike, that maybe we don't notice. Rejoice with those that rejoice, and weep with those that weep. The word is with, and that's what loving is, that we are with a person. We are with them. This is what the writer of the book of Romans is saying to us, that if we love someone, we are with them. And I'm not just talking about physical presence. I'm talking about being with someone. Sometimes in the evening when I go home, after the day's work, I'll go home and I'll be talking to my wife. And she'll be in the kitchen getting supper ready. And she said, come in here, John, I want you to be with me. And so I'll go in there and she'll be talking. And she says, John? And I said, well, why? And she says, I want you to be with me. And I says, I'm with you. She says, you're with me, but you're not with me. And there's a difference. And when she calls that to my attention, I understand what she's saying. And you've experienced the same thing with your mate. You're with me, but you're not with me. And that's what he is talking about here. Rejoice with those that rejoice, and weep with those that weep. Experience the sorrow with one another. Experience the joy with one another, and really be with them, not physically present only, but really feel and experience the joys and the sorrows of one another. Really be with people. Be with your brothers. Support them. Strengthen them. Encourage them. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Let no one seek his own good, but the other. Let no one seek his own good, but seek the other. Seek the good of the other. Martin Buber has said that one of the greatest problems that there is in the world is the I-it relationship. That as human beings, we get to considering other people as things. And he says, people have this relationship, I-it. And he set about on a movement and has written several books, in which one of them he called I Vow. But the relationship we are to have with one another is I Vow. That I consider you a person. That I consider you a creation of God. A human being. With such a potential of strength. And such a potential of love. That you can do something for the church that perhaps has never been done before. Because I see Jesus Christ in you, and you see Jesus Christ in me, and we are supporting, loving, caring for one another. Again, Paul says, be of the same mind. Have the same mind. There's nothing wrong with that. I can keep my independence, but I can have the same mind as you. We can have that cooperation. We can have that fellowship. We can have that love, that unity that binds together so strong that it cannot be broken, and that this world cannot confront, because it cannot confront that kind of love. Responding to the needs of others. Responding to the needs of our brothers in cooperation and support, so that the world knows that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. To love means to give your brothers in Christ time and space. That's right. To love means to give your brothers in Christ time and space. To give them time to serve. To give them the space to serve. To give them the space to be themselves and make their unique contribution to the body of Christ. As we are all in the church, we are not all doing the same thing. But what a source of strength it is for me to, now that I have met you people, to know that you are here in this space serving Jesus Christ right here. What a source of strength that is to me to live in Oregon, Illinois, and know that you people are here. How wonderful that is. You see, I've heard about you, and people have talked about you, but now I know you, and I know that you are strong. And how wonderful that is to know that here the body of Christ is, in a bond of love and cooperation, providing a source of strength in this area, in this community, so that the church of Jesus Christ is strong right here also. Perhaps you don't understand how comforting that is. What a source of strength that is. And that's what loving people are. They're strong people so that they can support the weakness of others. We cannot love someone that we idolize. We cannot love someone that we worship as a hero. Therefore, we have to be human beings. And we have to understand that we have weaknesses. But we still love one another in Jesus Christ. To love someone means I must be in touch with him. I must understand him. I must know him. And unless I can be in touch with him and understand him and know him, I cannot love him as fully and completely as I should. Jesus knew the disciples, and he loved them. Jesus Christ knows us, and he loves us. I know you much better than before. You know me much better than before. Therefore, I expect you to love me more. And you have that right to expect me to love you more. We have to be in touch, aware. We have to have that sense of communication and that feeling of communication that goes across our weaknesses, that removes our barriers, so that we are grasped together in a bond of love that presents a united front of the body of Christ to the world. In loving, and in cooperation, and in caring, the other person becomes the most important. The growth of the other person becomes our aim and our goal. That we see one another as growing persons, as growing and developing and becoming in Jesus Christ. You see, that's what we are. We are, and we are becoming. We are becoming stronger in Jesus Christ. Because we are a fulfilled people. Because Jesus Christ has fulfilled the emptiness of our lives. Bear ye one another's burdens, Paul said in one place. Bear ye one another's burdens. Do good to all men. Especially to the household of faith. The loving person is secure about his relationship. If he cannot love, then he is not secure about his relationship in the world. If he cannot love, then he's not secure about his relationship in the church. He's not secure about that relationship that he has with Christ if he cannot love and support and cooperate. Because that person that can love is that person that feels that he can trust. And he feels that he is trusted. In our different areas of service, as we are different members of the body of Christ serving in our various areas, we have different responsibilities. But we have one thing that is binding us together. When Christ died on the cross, we speak of it as his pouring out of his blood as a sacrifice. This is what love did. And you know, it is the blood of the body that unites the whole body. The blood in your body is in touch with every part of your body. That's what keeps you alive. What was it that caused Jesus to give his blood? It was love. So do you see that it is the love that we have for one another that is in touch with every other part of the body? This is the binding force. This is what makes us strong. This is what presents the challenge to the world, that we love, that we care. And just as surely as Jesus Christ died on the cross, and just as surely as he poured out his blood as a sacrifice because he loved, so we love one another. And because we love one another, we stand as Jesus Christ in the world. That's the reason we call the church the body of Christ. Because we love one another, we are as Christ in the world. And so if we are as Christ in the world, then it behooves us to love one another, because Jesus loves us.